Welcome to episode 2 of The Warrior Path, the podcast discussing all the latest news and events in Heber Heights City Schools. I'm your host, Zach Frink, and first up, we're discussing the Power Scholars Academy that district students participated in during the summer. With me to talk the specifics is Philip Ferrari, Community Impact Director at the YMCA of Greater Dayton. Great to have you on, Philip.
Thanks for having me. We're excited to have this opportunity to talk about one of our great programs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I heard a lot about it, wrote about it, too.
Yeah, we're excited. We have such a great relationship with the Heber Heights School District here at the YMCA, and we love working with the students there. One of the things that we really try to do is we try to work with students that really need the most help. And so we try to structure programs that are going to make an impact specifically on education, but also on social emotional development, so we can have a great summer for our students and not just have it all academic focused, but have a lot of fun while we're doing it.
Oh yeah, that's great to hear. So you say focusing on social and emotional development, that's, also a theme with the Department of Education here in Ohio. So yeah. How did you guys help develop that during the Summer Scholars Program?
So I think one of the things that really impacted our parents is when we talked about the program, we said we compared, I guess one of the things that we did is we made sure that everything that we had academic-wise was paired with something that was real and in the community. And so team building exercises, making sure we went to different organizations and getting the students out into experiential learning helps them understand and realize what their learning is meaningful and how to work as a team to make some of these things happen. And so we pair education, the kind of the rigor of everyday drilling some of the core concepts, but then making them real in the real world by going to places like COSI, going to places like Cox Arboretum, and having those experiential learning where we can talk about some of the meaningful things that we do in the classroom.
Okay, so like really just getting outside of classroom, outside of just regular tests and papers and all that good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You have to make it real for our students, especially the ones that aren't picking up the concepts in the classroom.
Yeah, very true. So you mentioned the students, what were the age ranges of the students that participated in the program?
So we had students that were going into first grade and students all the way going up to fourth grade.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many students participated total throughout the program?
So we had about 100 students participating in the program.
And how long was it?
It was about 6 weeks.
6 weeks. Okay. So you mentioned developing the social emotional skills, but what was the daily regimen for, the students, some of the activities that they did?
So a lot of the activities in the morning, it was very structured so that they had time, some community time where they can talk and have kind of a voice about what they wanted to do in the morning. That's important when you come to a summer school program so that you understand, you're kind of gearing up. You've got a little bit of voice and choice as you make your inroads into the day. And you can also talk and converse with your fellow students and your teachers because they're always there to have a conversation. Sometimes it's hard to have a conversation about something that's going on in your life in the classroom, but in the beginning, in the morning time, that's a great time to have the ability to connect with your teacher or your fellow classmates. So we looked at that and as one of the ways that we could build community. And then we transitioned nicely into the classroom where they had about 2 hours of instruction, about an hour and a half maybe, in reading, and again another hour and a half in mathematics. And in the afternoon, that was reserved for times like robotics, Lego labs, going on field trips, all these different things. Fitness classes, performing arts, and even computer programming. We saw some of our students do computer programming with actual robots and made them manipulate things in the real world. It was really cool. So the academics was in the morning, and in the afternoon we had things where you had more experience and you could take that knowledge and put it to good use.
Well, I mean, that's quite different from, the regular school year. So how did students respond to all these different activities that they were doing?
I think that it was new, right? And I think it was new for teachers as well. This is our second year in the program. And what we're doing is we're trying to make sure that the teachers understand the philosophy and the students understand the philosophy of what this program is, because it is a difference than school, like you pointed out. And so one of the things that we want to work with the students on is just saying, you know, these practices, these things that you're learning in the classroom are going to be applied in the afternoon every single day. And once students started to learn that, they were so much more engaged in reading and learning and figuring out all the math problems that can be really hard these days. And so that philosophy kind of came true, I would say, in week two. Yeah. Students kind of understood that this is what we're doing and this is how we're doing it.
Yeah, so total curveball, so coming out of left field for them, and, you know, they really, like, warmed up to it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. So what about some special field trips? Because you mentioned, like, COSI and another place before. So, like, where'd you guys go, and what'd you guys do once you got there?
So we always go to COSI. We love going there, and that's a great field trip where we have a lot of activities with a ton of different science activities. And what's great is that students can have the ability to kind of work through a lot of different activities there that they can choose from. So if they're more interested in the robotics, or they're more interested in, you know, things like rockets or things like that, they can go and choose what those are. I mean, and similarly, when we go to Camp Kern, which is just a fantastic camp, I'm not just saying that because I work for the YMCA, it's an awesome place. And so they get to go outside and experience nature and get to learn from some really great camp counselors out there, too. They give them kind of the deluxe tour. And so they get to do just all these different things out that they may not experience otherwise.
Yeah. And you know, just for the people unfamiliar at home, what does COSI stand for? That's like one of the first times I'm hearing about it, too.
Center of Science and Industry.
Okay, Center of Science and Industry. Okay, so COSI, you mentioned other place. Did you guys go to anywhere else? Or
yeah, we go to Cox Arboretum every year, and we go to the Columbus Zoo, which is a really, really great experience, especially when we're reading books about animals. Yeah. The kids really pick up on that, and like, oh my gosh, they really do have spots. They do have stray, like all these different. So yeah, that's also a really wonderful experience.
Well, that's great to hear. So you're doing all these activities. So how is that translated to students improving academically?
So I think they're one and the same. I think that when one thing that we learn as educators, and we learn as, you know, working in out of school time is what we call it, for summer school and for after school, self-efficacy is a big, big part of it. And that's why we're interested in the social emotional care of our students. So what we're trying to do is to understand, where are those points where students can feel great about their education? Where can they feel as though I have a place in the classroom, especially the students that we target for this program, who are that lower quartile of students in their academic performance? So when we have things that are experiences, and we have things where you can apply that knowledge, you feel empowered that you can do these things and make real change in your world at that time. So when we look at academics, we don't just look at, you know, how quickly can you read this? What is your comprehension level? It's how you can apply it in the real world. And a lot of our students that are lower performers don't get that experience, and they're actually really great at it. They have different skills than they might be tested on in the classroom all the time.
So it's just a matter of, you know, getting them experience, getting them, like, thinking outside the box, outside, like, the normal curriculum that they experienced in the regular school year.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And what about parent feedback? I mean, I know this has to be different for parents, too. So what have you heard from them?
They love the program. They absolutely, and we got an opportunity to put on the Three Piggy Opera at the end of the year. So we also do a lot of theater and musicals, and we also did the Stone Soup Opera. And so at that time, we got to share with them that on average, we grew more than, I think, 3 months in on average with our students. And I'll have to go back to the data just to check that. Yeah. But I think that was the overall overall change. And we told them, so we had the analogy with the Three Piggy Opera, that we were not making a foundation of straw, we were not making a foundation of sticks, but we were making a foundation of bricks that we could build upon for the next school year, that so we could make a change. And not only the, you know, the amazing performance of all of our students in the theater productions, but also understanding the just gain that they made academically, the parents were beside themselves. And we had about 150 parents at that family night just to see all these different things. And it was wonderful. So I think the parents, and overall, I can give you a hard number. When we looked at our satisfaction rates at the end of the school year, we do an outcome survey with our parents. Out of 10, with 50 surveys from parents, we had a 9.75 average of how much they enjoyed the program. Wow. There was just an outpour of how much change we had made in the lives of these students. And that's what our teachers worked so hard for. The principal, he just was fantastic in helping us identify the students that needed the help. And then Debbie Nerderman and Laura Bowes, who was the site leader at that site, they were just fantastic and instrumental in making these things happen. So I think just calling out everybody about this fantastic year is important.
That's great, yeah. So you said year two, right? So
yep.
So how can students sign up for next summer?
So what we do is we try to identify the students that have the most need in the school. So teachers will be working with their principal in the school district to identify which of those students are at the highest need and how we can connect with them. So I know that one of the initiatives that really helped this year is at student-teacher conferences, those students who are performing a little bit lower academically, they're going to be targeted by their teachers so that they can be identified. We have some spots open at the end when it's all said and done. So staying in contact with your principal, staying in contact with your teacher, and even talking to the YMCA, it's always a good time to talk with us about programs that are going on.
Okay. Yeah, it's great to hear. So yeah, you know, you heard it from Philip, you know, just stay in contact with your teacher and principal. So that way you can see, you know, if you can get an extra spot. So I guess that'll be it for this segment. You know, I really want to thank you, Philip, for coming on to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. We're so happy to be a partner with Huber Heights School District.
Oh, yeah, we're happy to partner with you. So, you know, just some quick house cleaning stuff. You can send in your ideas for what we should cover on the show. Go to bit.ly/warriorpathsurvey to submit an idea. Follow us on social media, too. We're on Twitter and Facebook at HHCS District. Up next, I sit down with Ben Ayers, the new principal of Rushmore Elementary. We're talking about his background, goals, and all of his favorite things. The Warrior Path will be right back. We're back with The Warrior Path, the podcast discussing all the latest news and events happening at Huber Heights City Schools. I'm your host, Zach Frank, and I'm joined by Ben Ayers, the new principal at Rushmore Elementary School. Thanks for joining me on the show.
Thanks for having me, Zach.
Yeah, so it's great having you on. You know, I really wanted to, you know, take the time to get to know you and all, just for the whole district and the whole world to get to know you, you know? So I really appreciate you for coming on.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Oh, yeah, great. So can you describe your background, like, you know, where you're from and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I'm originally from a little town in northwest Ohio called Ohio City. Not a city at all. Graduated from Van Wert High School in 2001 and eventually went to college at Wright State. Was able to get my educational degrees in middle childhood education. And eventually settle down, live in Troy now, and able to settle down and kind of live down here in this area.
Okay. So you see Ohio City, not a city. So was it like a township or?
Yeah, it's basically a little village. It was about 800 to 900 people growing up. So my elementary school experience was basically the same 20, 22 kids K through six, and then moving into the Van Wert schools, we melded together with like six or seven other schools. Van Wert, I graduated with about 200 students.
Wow. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be saying, wow, you know, I went to private school myself. So, you know, I graduated with like 211 kids myself. So, but yeah, it's just very interesting.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. It's a really small town kind of area.
Yep. Small town. Everyone knew everyone. Definitely a different than the area that's down here. Different, just a different community, different life experience and growing up. Like our students would be in Huber Heights. But again, I've been excited to be serving this community as well for the time that I have.
Okay. It's like really rural area.
Yeah, very rural.
Yeah.
Farms, farmland all over. It's definitely flat cornfields is basically all you see. So.
Okay. And you say you went to Wright State too. I mean, I feel like everybody wants to Wright State out here, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely. I actually attended the Wright State Lake campus, which is I played basketball there for a couple years. That's up in Salina, which is up in the neck of the woods that I'm from, and then moved down to the main campus in Dayton to finish out the educational degree. At that time, they didn't have the programming up there to finish, so I was able to move down here and finish it up. And again, fortunate enough to get hired into Huber Heights City Schools.
Okay. So you're a hooper. I mean, I guess that's like kind of a given, you know, your height.
A little bit of height. I'm not sure where it came from. I'm a little bit of an anomaly in my family. But yeah, I'm about 6'4". So God graced me a little bit with the ability to be tall and it helped me out for sure.
Okay. So were you like a 2-3 swing guard kind of guy?
Or? Yeah. Growing up, I was a point guard. Because I wasn't as big, and then in high school I grew a little bit, and then moved into more like small forward, 2-3 role, like you said. But loved playing basketball. I was happy to get to do it for as long as I did, and able to extend my career a little bit into college. I definitely love sports.
Oh yeah, same here. So, I mean, I actually played D3 football for a couple years myself at Allegheny College. You know, I got to get my plug in for my fellow Gators. But anyway. Yeah, play D3 football is Wright State. You said
the Lake campus. It's a regional campus. It's not Division I, II, or III. Mostly played a lot of other regional campuses, like through Ohio State or Miami. OU had several too. So mostly traveled the state of Ohio playing those. But then we played some NAIA schools as well. Like I said, it was a great opportunity. I met a lot of good people. Yeah. And that experience, and again, just an extra 3 years of playing basketball was something I appreciated.
Yeah. Now, I feel like NAIA schools are, like, very unique, you know, because they're not, you know, within the NCAA system. Mm-hmm. So you get, like, a lot of guys that fall through the cracks to NAIA.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And so we weren't considered NAIA, but we were playing some of those schools. There was definitely a lot of talent in those schools. Like you said, some either they just kind of fell through the cracks or, they were there because of like eligibility reasons or whatever, but I definitely played. I know the one team, I think Walsh or Malone, that's up in the northeast part of Ohio. The one gentleman had played at UC. He was recruited by UC, played at UC for a year, and then went and played there. He was like 6'10", huge. Yeah. Like I'm 6'4". That's funny because the kids think I'm huge, 6'4". Yeah. Like, do you ever meet anyone taller than you? I'm like, all the time. And there's people a lot bigger than me.
Yeah. So you said you're like a statistical anomaly in your family. So
yeah, I mean the men in my family are mostly like 6 foot or smaller.
Yeah.
So more of my dad's only like 5'11". So I had a couple uncles that have a little bit of height, but I'm the tallest in my family by far.
Okay, that's great. So you said you also settled down. So can you describe your family life for me? Or
yeah. Going to in college, I met my wife, Crystal, up at Wright State Lake campus, and then she also moved to Wright State down here in Dayton. She's also a teacher. She teaches sixth grade math in Piqua, and yeah, so we've been married. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary this past summer.
Congrats!
Yeah, thank you. And we have four kids, 8, 6, 4, and 2, and so 3 girls and a boy. My boy's the 4-year-old, and yeah, so we stay pretty busy.
Oh yeah, I bet. 4 kids. You going to try to get him into any sports at all?
Oh, yeah, we're already our older three are all playing soccer right now. We've had soccer, softball, swim team. We're already pretty much into diving into all that and doing the shuttling all over the place.
Yeah, the full swing of things.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, can you describe your role before coming a principal in the district?
Yeah, so again, this is my 13th year in Huber Heights. Again, honored to have had the opportunity to serve here for all 13 years. My first 9 years, I taught at Monticello. Seven of those, I was teaching fifth grade, primarily the math teacher there. And then the next 2 years, I spent 2 years in fourth grade at Monticello, primarily teaching math as well. So that was kind of my area of focus. I then had the opportunity a few years ago to go to Wright Brothers and be the teacher on special assignment. And that role kind of serves that building in kind of a curriculum capacity, helping facilitate a lot of the things that the curriculum department is doing, but just kind of doing that within Wright Brothers. And then the last 2 years, I was a different teacher on special assignment position. I was working directly out of the curriculum department as a math coach and support person, going into schools, working with teachers, helped adopt some new programming that we've been initiating this year with our Bridges in Mathematics and Go Math. We brought 10 marks in a few years ago, too, as an online computer program. And so I kind of was helping facilitate those, get those up and running, as well as supporting teachers and trying to grow as better math educators.
Okay, so you've been it seems like all around the place, you know, wearing many different hats, and now you're wearing a hat of principal.
Yes.
So how has that been for you so far? I mean, like, you know, coming in today, I saw you're like all over the place looking a little frazzled. So I know that's like been a little bit of a change for you.
Yeah, it's definitely it's just a different role. You know, the expectation here is, you know, I'm trying every day to be as visible and be out with the students when they arrive, when they dismiss, at lunch, at recess. But then, you know, there's your daily fires that come up. I know sometimes all of us in our lives make some poor choices, and part of my responsibility is trying to work with those kids to realize what we did wrong, how can we learn from those experiences, and hopefully moving forward, we're making better choices. But yeah, it's definitely a busy change of pace. There's a lot going on, whether it's supporting teachers or having to help students, or there's a kid not feeling well and you're helping them out. It's, you never know what's going to come your way. Every single day is completely different.
I guess that's the fun of it.
It is. Yeah. You walk in with expectations of certain things, you know, you're going to do, but a lot of your day they're throwing curveballs at you all day long. And, that's part of the excitement of the job.
Oh yeah. That's great to hear. So what about some of your goals, you know, for this upcoming school year?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, personally, just being a first year principal, I mean, I know I have a lot to learn. So trying to have my eyes open and visible to things that are happening. A lot of great things are already happening at Rushmore. So making sure I'm seeing and recognizing those and celebrating those successes with our students and our teachers. But then also, too, as I talk to a lot of parents and the students, you know, and this place is safe, a safe place for learning. Like I said, working with these kids, making sure our goal when we come here is to learn. Our teachers are doing the best jobs that they can to try to support you in your education and just trying to provide the best quality environment for our students to come and learn and get a quality education.
Okay. So, yeah, so it sounds like you have a lot on your plate, but, you know, you're definitely, you know, well-versed and being able to, you know, handle anything that comes your way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's take a bit of, you know, a left turn, you know. So we talked about sports a little earlier, yeah. As you can tell. I'm a sports guy, obviously, you know. So what are some of your favorite teams?
Yeah, so starting off right now, I'm a Cleveland Browns fan. So go Browns, able to get their first first win last night after a long, long stretch of time without winning. Almost, I think it was 600-something days that they were approaching there. So able to get a win last night. Yeah. Basketball, it's kind of funny. I like NBA. I watch a lot of basketball. I don't really have a favorite NBA team. Just follow the sport. Like to watch. They're amazing athletes. So love watching NBA. When it comes to college sports, I get a little challenge around here because I am a Michigan fan.
Oh my God, me too.
Yeah, yeah. So
you have no idea how much of a relief that is.
Yeah.
To hear,
like, so go Blue. Well, but it definitely adds to it some excitement because most of our population around here are Ohio State fans. So it makes it fun, though. So let's definitely root for them in football and basketball and baseball. I'm a Chicago Cubs fan. So but between being a Cubs fan and a Browns fan, I've suffered a lot of loss throughout my life. But the Cubs were able to pull out a World Series a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And the Browns seem to be getting better. So, yeah, I love sports. It's something that my family and we do frequently together at home, actively. Like I said, my kids are getting involved in stuff now. But we like to spend some time following sports too.
Okay. Yeah, and at least you're not an Orioles fan like me. You know, I'm from Baltimore and stuff, you know. I've seen maybe like, I mean, I can't even think. I think it's really like I can count on my one hand like the amount of winning seasons that the Orioles have had in my lifetime, honestly. So
yeah,
I totally commiserate with you on that front. And, yeah, you know, yeah, all that suffering.
Yeah,
through all those years.
Yeah, the Cubs definitely were lovable losers. I mean, that's the name they had for a long time, and stuck with them though, and they're having some success now.
Okay, so what about your favorite TV shows?
Favorite TV? I mean, I guess I watch sports are probably my favorite thing to watch. My wife and I kind of our indulgence right now, I guess, Big Brother, a TV show that's on there. And we watch a lot of things we watched in the past. The Office is one of my favorite shows.
Oh my God, yes.
Of all time. So we still, whenever we need a good laugh, we still put that, we'll go back and watch that on Netflix or something. So
like you know, it's on syndication on Comedy Central now.
It's popping up everywhere. And it's a good show.
I definitely love it. So that's actually like been like my routine, you know, come home from work and then turn on Comedy Central and Office Marathon is on like every day.
Yeah.
Love
it. It's a good one. It's one of those, when we first started watching it, wasn't sure if we liked it or not, but the more you get to know how the characters interact with each other, it's funny. Like, the more you watch it, the funnier it gets.
Yeah. Okay. Top three moments from the show.
Top three moments
from
the show.
Top three moments. Yeah.
Oh man. I don't know. First of all, I just say, Jim and Dwight, just the prank wars back and forth with those guys.
Yeah.
Super funny stuff. I don't know. My wife, so we always try to find shows that has got to be a little bit of a romantic side for my wife to kind of enjoy watching those things. So the comedy and the relationships that go on with that. So she always, we frequently watch the season where Pam and Jim finally get together. So that's kind of a big one.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what the other one is. It's hard to think of so many different episodes that are pretty funny. I know one of the funnier scenes I guess I can think of, again, it's maybe not the most appropriate, but when Jim puts Andy's phone up in the ceiling.
Oh yeah.
And keeps calling it. Yeah. He gets a little angry over that, but it's just, I don't know, just funny.
Oh yeah. Yeah, some of my favorite moments, you know, the whole Scott's Tots episode, the time where Jim classically trained Dwight to, you know, ask for a mint.
Yeah.
And, you can never forget, you know, when Jim convinced Dwight that he was Asian.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go on and on because I love that show so much. I watch it too. Okay. So favorite movies.
We don't really watch a whole lot of movies.
Okay.
But I guess going back, there are probably more from my childhood. Like, Forrest Gump was a movie that I liked when it first came out, and it encapsulates a lot of moments throughout history. It's just a neat movie. I guess recently, I never really got into Star Wars, but over the last couple of years, I finally watched them all in the order that they were written, and starting with episode one. It's not the order they were released in, but actually going through, so I kind of see how the whole story went, because I never really knew. Yeah. I saw the original Star Wars in episodes 4, 5, and 6, but I never really got to see the other one, so I did enjoy watching Star Wars as well.
Okay. So, you know, you're more of a classic guy and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, I really want to thank you for coming on the show, Ben. That'll be all the time we have for this segment.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me. And again, I'm super excited to have the opportunity to be principal here at Rushmore.
Oh, yeah. We're excited to have you. So, again, that'll be it for this segment. If you have any ideas for what we should cover, go to bit.ly/warriorpathsurvey. Don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter at HHCS District. And always stay tuned to HuberHeightsCitySchools.org for what's happening in our schools next. That will wrap episode 2 of the Warrior Path podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.